So this is a great day. We start a Holy Lent, and there's joy in the house. There's excitement. There's a sense of wonder, but of hope. Because we don't look to the cross as the end piece, but we look to the resurrection. And so, why the long faces? Why the ashes? Why the funeral pall over the cross and behind our beautiful flowers? Because you're dust. This is going to go away someday. I hope not soon. God wants to meet us in our humanity and say, wake up! Are you paying attention? Blow the trumpet, sound the horn, blast the cannons. Wake up! And he says this to his people in this time from Joel. He's trying to get our attention so he can say, would you remember your first love? Would you put your heart in a place where you're directed at the Lord and not confused or fearful? Well, we got a lot to be fearful, Lord, because even you are saying the day is near and the day of darkness and gloom, the day of clouds and thick darkness. And like blackness, there will spread over the mountains a great and powerful people. We see them coming, Lord. This sucks. Sorry to say it in common vernacular, but that's what they're saying. They're fearful. They're anxious. Can we say coronavirus? Can we talk about the things that are in our time that we're wrapped up around and watching the numbers rise and fearful about? The Lord's like, that's nothing. Stay awake. Don't be fearful. Be ready. I had a beautiful image today that Jan shared with me. He says, you know, I know that one of the hitches in how we teach about reaching into the heavenlies is prosperity gospel, the way it's out there. But he says, you need water, and it's going to rain. What do? Go get a bucket, right? You prepare for it. And here we are in this season of Lent where the Lord says, it's going to rain. And he's asking you, how are you going to prepare for it? You've been in a drought. You've been in a spiritual drought. And it's time for you to collect, get the tarps out, let them run like, you know, a maze down to this one bucket where it all can collect so that you can help everyone around you. God has an abundance for us. But in order for us to be prepared, sometimes we've got to be a little creative. I love the idea, by the way, Dave, of reading Psalm 103 every day. I think you might have some takers that will take that up. So here the Lord is saying to the people of God from Joel 2, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. It's not that we want to sort of put on some somber tone, but we've got to get our faces before God and say, what do we do? How do we hand it over to you, Lord? We white-knuckle this life too much. We just need you. We want you. We love you. We praise you. We're joyful about you. You know why this day is such a good day for me? Because it can't ever again not be resurrection. Dad went home on Ash Wednesday last year. What a beautiful thing to celebrate. And I'll remember it like it was yesterday. And the picture Mom sent of Dad with ashes on his forehead, given just before he passed. It's not a loss. He's waiting because he knows the Lord. He knows that his heart had to be prepared, and he got prepared. His conversations that went on the weeks before he left were conversations of just what the scripture said today. Be reconciled to one another. Be reconciled. It's not just a good idea. Hey, let's, here we are in the middle of the liturgy. I guess the peace is coming. Maybe we should be kind to that person over there and tell them we were such a jerk last week that maybe, you know, if we clean up our act a little bit, we wouldn't be such an idiot. Lord says, be reconciled. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to each other. Work together with him, Paul says. We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. When you have something wrong and the body's not unified, we're spitting in God's face. It's a hard way to put it, but that's the reality we're living in if we're not right with one another. If you can't say something that builds up the body, don't say anything at all. Why? Because that person and you live in the power of the resurrection. Those little things that we argue about or we're so bent around the axle over it when it comes to being family are things that really don't matter in the big kingdom picture, does it? Amen. And yet the Lord gives us some correction because he knows who we are. He knows that we're inclined to the flesh. He knows that we're in a place where our first reaction is going to either be selfish or theatric. And he said, don't stand on the corner like they do. Don't put on airs. Don't make yourself the kind of person that has to say, oh, look at me, I'm holy. See, I got my cross today. And then some of us need to wear our cross so that there's a public witness without words. I think it was attributed to, who's the guy that was with all, Francis, St. Francis. He said, you know, preach the gospel always when necessary. Use words. Well, I think words are necessary all the time. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes we just need to be a public witness by being who we are. If we are reconcilers, our duty, our job, our love, our joy is to see people connected and together, to helping them. So it didn't dawn on me until today. But there's a word in the scriptures today about a spirit of generosity. When you get fearful or doubtful or scared, when you're under attack or you have the flu, when you feel like you don't want to be around anybody because you've been a dirty dish rag and nobody needs to see you in this state, do you want to give things away to people? You don't want to see people. And you want to hold on to everything you have for fear it's going to go away. And in the word today, the Lord is saying, you need to declare a holy fast. Declare a time. And he lists, I love the sound of the little one here. Because it's not just for the old who are wise. It's not for the ones who are school age and can understand. But it's for the wee little ones and everyone in between. Everyone's to gather and put their hearts together and wrap them around the Lord's word so that we can lay ourselves before God and we see the Mongolian horde coming our way. We can say, I know there's only one thing that can stop that. And the scriptures show time and time again where the enemy is coming and God confounds the enemy and they end up shooting themselves in the foot, right? There is nothing, neither height nor depth or power or principality. We do have to stand for righteousness, and sometimes that means taking up arms, but really I think the Lord wants us to defend ourselves with this word and not be in a place where we have fear. So Jesus comes along and speaks to you and I today in this time where we will have ash put on our head and we'll remember that we are just dust. Be reminded of our baptism, really. In your baptism, you were told, I hope, that you are dying. And it's fatal. It's lifelong. Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul would say that we've been crucified with Christ There's a purpose in our baptism that at one point in time, they really literally told people to plunge the baptizee into the water and hold them down. Let them get, you know, in real touch with their humanity as they're gasping for breath. Because they were to die to the old self and raise to a new life in Christ. Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he's aware of the crowd that's around. And there's two areas that he puts his thumb on. He said, give to the needy. No, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they can be praised by others. He also says, when you give, don't let anybody see it. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing, or the left hand know what the right hand is doing, because you need to have that between you and God. The things that God calls you to sow into, it is to be a blessing for the kingdom with really no return expected. But there is one return, doesn't that say in the scripture? Build up, don't build up on this earth treasures on earth, but build treasures in heaven, where neither rust or moth can destroy. For where your heart is, therefore your treasure is also. I sometimes say it back and forward the wrong way. But the reality is, what God is calling us to do is sow in our hearts the character that is always generous. The character that is always looking to take care of those that we might see around us. already established our salvation. We'll bless you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.